conclusion here, and we're at the final part of this really interesting short book, and we're going to kind of see Jonah's response to all that's happened so far and whatnot. First off, has anyone seen the show This Is Us? Anybody a fan of the show This Is Us? It's like one of the most popular TV shows right now. Some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about, I guess, but it really is one of the most popular TV shows right now. And so I don't want to spoil it for you because I want to encourage you to watch it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I've seen parts of it, and I saw most of the first season, I know. And one thing people told me about the show was, like, this is a show that you are going to find someone in the show that you identify with, and that's what's going to connect you. I don't know if some of you have watched it, that have watched it, would say the same thing, but I kind of found that to be true, that it's a show about family and just this interesting family dynamic, and you'd really have to watch it. I don't want to explain too much of it to give any of it away for you, but it's one of those shows that you just, like, kind of get connected to because you just feel like you're one of the characters, or like you just really identify with some part of the story, and it just kind of draws you in to the story, into the show. And now it's one of, like I said, the most popular TV shows in America right now. And I don't know if any of you that have watched it would say that. I know I would kind of say that. There was elements of the story that just drew me in, and I was like, I really identify with that. Like, I really connect with that idea. And I think the Bible is so much of the same thing, and I think particularly Jonah is so much like that. That at some point in the story, at some point in the four chapters, each and every one of us find ourselves as some kind of character in the story. And maybe it's Jonah who has this back and forth relationship with God where he's running from God and God's chasing him, and it's just this roller coaster, and we'll explain that in just a second. Maybe for some of you, you identify with the Ninevites and the prideful nation that the Ninevites live in, the situation they live in. Maybe some of you are like the sailors on the ship that just don't even know God. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, but I think at some point along the way, each and every one of us can find ourselves as someone in Jonah chapter 4. And whether that be good or bad, I hope tonight that we would just take the time to admit who we are and trust that God wants to move us in a certain direction, that by his grace, he certainly is capable of doing that. I'm going to read just the first few verses, and then we'll kind of explain what's going on in Jonah chapter 4. So it says here, it says, "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong." And so you have to refer to what's happening above that. And what's happening above that is Jonah has finally gotten the courage to go to Nineveh. And I know Ryan has explained this well. Jonah didn't avoid Nineveh because he was scared of the Ninevites. Jonah avoided Nineveh essentially because he was prideful and he was a racist. He did not want the Ninevites to understand the grace of God. He didn't want them to experience the grace of God because he didn't like them. Because they were kind of, their countries, their nations, their groups, they were kind of rivals. They didn't really get along with each other at all. And so Jonah, what he doesn't want is he doesn't want the Ninevites to understand God's grace. He doesn't avoid Nineveh just because he's scared, like the stories teach us when we're growing up. He avoids Nineveh because he doesn't like these people, and he doesn't want these people to experience God's compassion in God's grace. And so he finally goes because of the experience that's happened to him. If you haven't been tracking through the series, if you're not familiar with Jonah, what happens is Jonah is swallowed by this great fish because he's thrown overboard from the ship that he's on as he's trying to flee from Nineveh, and he gets swallowed up by this fish. This fish spits him out, and he gets this realization where it's like, you know what, if I got swallowed by a fish, I probably should do what God wants me to do. We would probably do the same. He goes to Nineveh, he preaches 8 words, and at the end of these 8 words, says the whole city repents, and we get to this point where Jonah is upset about that. And it says, "To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry." So he gets upset, he gets angry at what God, the compassion God has shown the Ninevites. It says, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Let's pray really quickly. Heavenly Father, I just pray tonight that by your spirit and your power that we would find ourselves in the story, and that we would see where maybe you're trying to teach us something about ourselves tonight through this story of Jonah, through this back and forth story of one of yours that trusted you, but also loved himself. And I pray tonight that we would see that in our relationship with you, that we can't put ourselves before you or before others. I pray that you would humble us tonight before you and teach us something powerful about what you want us to do and how you want us to respond to your word. We love you, Lord. I pray that you would bring your word to life by the power of your spirit. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So, Jonah gets to this point in the story. The Ninevites have repented. It seems like he should be excited, and he's upset. And so what happens is Jonah doesn't realize that he's just like the nation of Nineveh. So in this story, what's going on is the Ninevites, these ruthless people. I think a good comparison that I've read is that Nineveh could almost be compared to like a New York City of its time. Big city, big architecture, lots of people, lots of culture, but also a lot of sin. And so these were a ruthless group of people, and that's one of the reasons Jonah did not like them. They were essentially rivals with each other. I know Ryan has kind of explained that through the series, and Jonah gets to this point where he preaches, they repent, and it says that he's angry, and it even says this. He says, Lord, I knew you would do this. Like, I knew that this would happen. I knew if I went to Nineveh that this would happen. And that's the reason he avoids going, because he knows that when he goes, he knows that God's going to be compassionate. He knows that God's going to be gracious. He knows that God is going to relent and show his mercy to the people of Nineveh. And he admits that. And I think that teaches us a powerful thing, not just for the story of Jonah, but also for our life. And that's this, that our greatest confidence is in God's compassion. And even in Jonah's sin, even in Jonah's pride and in his selfishness, what Jonah understands is that God is always going to be compassionate. And the same is true for us in our stories tonight. That no matter what we're going through, what we're experiencing, selfishness, if we're experiencing pride or greed or whatever it is, our confidence, our greatest confidence is in God's compassion. I think we can ask this question, who is God? And we could get a lot of different answers. And if you're anything like me, you would admit tonight that sometimes God is just really confusing. And like, he just doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. He's hard to understand. It's hard to get on his level. It's hard to get on the same page as God. And so what is one thing you can have confidence in when it comes to God? That he's always going to be compassionate. God is always going to be compassionate. The Ninevites were people who did not deserve in any way at all to experience God's grace. But what happens? God shows compassion. Jonah is not in a situation where he should be experiencing God's grace because of his disobedience, because of the sin and pridefulness in his life. He shouldn't be experiencing the compassion. What happens? He's confident in God's compassion. And in his sin, and even in his sorrow in this moment, what he says is, God, I knew you would be compassionate. I knew that's what you were going to do. Even Jonah's confidence is in the fact that God's going to be compassionate. And so relate that to our stories. Whatever we're going through, whether it's some kind of guilt, some kind of shame, some kind of mistake or past failure that we just can't seem to get over, what's our confidence in? Our confidence is in God's compassion. That, yeah, I know I'm going to mess up, but my expectation isn't just that I'm going to mess up. My expectation is that God's always going to be compassionate. I read a story one time where a group of scholars from around the world were meeting in this room, and they were discussing and debating the world's greatest religions. And they were talking about the things that were kind of the major religions of the world had in common. And then a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis walks into the room, and they ask him, well, what is so different about your faith? While all these people are trying to debate what's different about the different faiths of the world, this is what he says is different. Grace. What makes Christianity different than every other faith in the world is the grace component of faith. The fact that God, the God we get to fall in love with, is a God who is gracious and compassionate in every situation and circumstance. The story of the Bible and the story of the gospel is a story of God showing grace to people who did not deserve it. And that's what happens in this story. As people of God, grace has to be our expectation. In our lives and the lives of other people, grace has to be our expectation. No matter how we failed, no matter how we're broken, no matter how we've fallen short of God's glory and God's plans for our life, grace is always the expectation as people of God. You know how we know this? Because Jonah understood this. Jonah knew very well what his confidence was in God's compassion. I think it's interesting that you read through chapter 4, and we'll read through the rest of it in a little bit, and I just think it's so weird. And the reason it's so weird is because it's awkward for grace recipients to not be grace extenders. And that's exactly what Jonah is. He's someone who's received grace. You look at his story in chapters 1 through 3. He's experienced grace that he didn't deserve. And you know where the tension is? Is that it's weird for people who receive grace not to extend grace to other people. It's kind of like, you guys know in superhero movies where for some reason there's always, I feel like, a point in many superhero movies where the superhero doesn't exercise his power to save somebody. Like, he could, like, it's like somewhere probably in the middle of the story, the beginning of the story, where it seems like the superhero could kind of end this thing, like, once and for all. Like, I think of Batman, like, there's so many times that Batman could probably, like, end the Joker and, like, finish him, and it could just be over. But he doesn't. And it's like, well, that's weird. That's awkward. Why doesn't that happen? And it's almost like that's what you're, like, you stand for. You're a superhero. You have this power. You could end this thing. You could finish it all. And it's like, that's our expectation of the superhero, right? And I just think when you relate that to the idea of us showing grace to people, that it's weird, it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, and it doesn't make sense when people who have received grace aren't willing to extend grace. And that's exactly what Jonah is living in. When you read through this chapter, what you see is that he is someone who has experienced God's grace, but he doesn't like to give it. I think the problem for many Christians, I think even for me sometimes, the reason I don't enjoy Christianity, the reason I don't enjoy my faith, and track with me here, is because we don't do it right. And what I mean by that is not that we just disobey, or not that we're just obedient, or that we have other things competing for God's place in our life. I think when I say we don't do it right, what I mean is that we don't show grace to other people. And when we're not showing grace to other people, I think we don't enjoy the Christianity and the faith that we have. I think that's really, I read that from a pastor a couple weeks ago, and I think it was really well put that for us to experience a joyful Christianity starts with us not only receiving grace, but extending grace to other people. The most exciting time in any church, in any church situation, is when people are lost people are meeting Jesus. It has to. I think it has to be. When people who are broken are experiencing grace, that's the most exciting time, when revival breaks through, not just because people in their own righteousness are getting their life back on track, but when people who are broken and lost meet Jesus. And that's what happens. A whole city, from eight words, experience the grace of Almighty God. And what Jonah says is that he's angry and upset about it. He's not tracking, and it's weird. There's tension, because grace recipients should be grace extenders. You see, Jonah wasn't scared of telling the Ninevites out of fear, because he was afraid, but he was afraid. He wasn't afraid of the Ninevites as much as he was afraid of God's grace towards the Ninevites. He was actually scared of what, because he knew what God would do. And what did he know? That God will always be compassionate. God will always show mercy. God will always show grace in every single situation. What can your confidence be in tonight? That God is compassionate. Here's the second thing I think we see in the story that happens all the time, that God always moves towards messed up people. God is always moving towards messed up people. So where does Jonah flee from? And if you go back to the very first chapter, where does it say Jonah flee from specifically? It says he flees from the presence of the Lord. You can look over at chapter 1 and see that. It says he fleed from the Lord. Some translations make it a specific point to say that he fleed from the presence of the Lord. So he's not just escaping Nineveh. He's not just running away from Nineveh when he gets on the boat to go to Tarshish. He's actually fleeing the presence of the Lord. So what is the connection we make there? That he's fleeing is God moving towards messed up people. Because where does God always move? Where is the presence of the Lord moving? The presence of the Lord is moving to Nineveh. So when he doesn't go to Nineveh, what he's saying is, I don't want to go where the presence of the Lord is going, because he knows that the presence of the Lord moves towards messed up people. What happens in his story? Where does the presence of the Lord go? After Jonah. Who's more messed up in the story of Jonah than Jonah? God always moves towards messed up people. I think this relates to the story in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. And we always talk about the lost son, but I think a detail that I know I always forget is, how does the brother respond? When the one lost son, he gets his inheritance early. He goes off and he spends it. He's wild. He's crazy. He does all the things that he does. Flip over to Luke 15 and read that sometime, and read that parable that Jesus tells. And he spends all of his inheritance, all of his money, living in sin, being wild. And he comes back and his father embraces him. His father throws a party for him. And then there's the other older brother that's just like, bro. Like, I've done everything you've wanted me to do, Dad. I haven't disobeyed you. I haven't spent my inheritance. I haven't gone astray. I haven't been living in sin. I haven't been living wild. I've been right here the whole time. Why isn't there a party for me? Who's more like Jonah than that? Jonah is so like that. He's the older brother in the story that God shows grace to messed up people, and he's caught off guard by it. It's like he's angry about it. He's upset about it. The older brother in the story, he's thrown off by the fact that God what the story portrays is that the Father God shows grace to the Son. And he's thrown off by that. He's messed up by that. That's awkward for him. And I think a lot of times that's awkward for us. That we don't, sometimes while we know God's compassionate, we're not as excited when God does something in someone else's life. It's like, that's not supposed to happen. And Jonah's the older brother in the story. And here's what we know. God's mission is for messed up people. If you want to follow after God, I just so believe it's going to take you to messed up people. If you want to join God in whatever God's doing in our community and around the world, it's going to take you to messed up people. It's going to require us to get out of our comfort zones and to move towards people who are broken, move towards people who are full of shame, full of guilt. And what we always see is that's always us. When God moves towards us, he's moving towards messed up people. It's one thing we see throughout the whole Bible, and one thing especially in the story of Jonah, that God moves towards messed up people. So God's mission is for the messed up. And so it makes us ask this question, what is at the bottom of our mission? Is it Christ or is it us? Because for Jonah in the story, it was his pride, it was his selfishness, it was his ethnicity, him. That was all it was that he was at the end of himself. He was at the bottom of his mission. In a lot of ways, his goal was himself in the story of Jonah. And so it makes us ask the question, what's at the bottom of our mission? Why do we disobey authority? Because we don't love them enough to submit their authority. Why do we disrespect our parents? Because we don't love them enough to honor them. Why do we talk about our friends behind their backs when they make a mistake? Because we're more concerned with how that mistake affects us and how it could affect them. Why do we complain when we don't like the way church is? Because it wasn't convenient for us. The end of all of our sin and all of our complaints is this self-idolatry, this pride that gets in the way of us moving towards God's mission. That's the story. That's what happens in the story of Jonah. Is that his pride gets in the way of him effectively moving into God's plan and God's purpose for his life. And so we pick up the rest of the story in Jonah chapter 4. If you'll look with me as we click, we'll read the rest of the passage in verse 4. It says, "The Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' It says, Jonah had gone out and he had sat down in a place east of the city. So he leaves the city and he goes out and he's basically going to watch what happens. He wants to see what happens. And I think he's kind of sitting there anxiously like, I really hope Nineveh gets destroyed. Like, I really hope that's what happens. He's confident that the Lord's going to be compassionate. But I think there's also this part of him that's rooting for Nineveh to be destroyed. It says, Jonah had gone out, sat down in a place east of the city, and there he made himself a shelter, and he sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. So he goes out, it's hot, he's waiting to see what happens in the city, and it's so interesting. The rest of this passage is one of the most strange passages in all of Scripture to me. So he goes out, he sits east of the city, he's watching to see what happens, it's hot, and so what does God do? He makes his plant grow up, and he makes his plant comfort him, provide shade for him. Isn't that so God? That even in our selfishness and in our pride, and even in this moment when he should be pretty much roasting Jonah, that what is he doing? He comforts him. He comforts Jonah. And then he's going to teach him a powerful lesson here. And it says, Jonah was very happy about the plant. So think about what's going on here. The Ninevite, a whole city has just repented because of what this preacher has said, because of the 8 words that he shared, this whole city has just entered this revival. And what is he happy about? He's happy about a plant that's comforting him. He's happy about a plant that brings him a little bit of happiness and a little bit of satisfaction. And so then it says, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, this is so weird, which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, it would be better for me to die than live. Think about this. Jonah's pouting in this story by seeing what God's done to Nineveh, and then in his comfort and in his satisfaction, he gets upset because God takes his plan away. He takes his comfort away. He takes his self-idolatry away because he's teaching him a lesson. And he says, he pouts to the point where he says, I just want to die. I just want to give up. Like, this is going to be it for me. Like, I just want to end it all here because it's going to be better for me to die than live. Think about what's happening to him. He's making comfort an idol. I know Ryan talked about this idea a couple weeks ago, that sometimes what is the biggest idol in our life isn't necessarily a sin or isn't necessarily a bad thing as much as it is ourself and our own comfort. And the thing that prevents so many of us from moving into God's mission is that we love ourselves and that we get infatuated with this idea of comfort. We get infatuated with safe things, with comfortable things, with our safe schedules. Comfort's an idol, and it becomes an idol for Jonah. And what we see is that he is so consumed with himself that he's not even looking at what God's doing around him. He's missing the revival that's taking place in the city right in front of him because he can't look past himself. And what's going to keep us from joining God in his mission, joining God's story? Us, our comfort, our self-infatuation, the fact that we love ourselves more than we love anything else. And so that's what's happening for Jonah. And so God asked him, but God said to Jonah, this is in verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? He said, it is, he said. And I'm so angry that I wish I were dead. So he's having this dialogue with God, and he's saying, yeah, you know what? I should be angry about it. I deserve to be angry about this. Think of how he's considering himself. Think about Jonah's thinking about himself. Think about how in love Jonah is with himself. Think about the pride and the selfishness that's coming through in this dialogue. He says, yeah, I'm so angry that I wish I were dead. And this is what the Lord says. You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. He's saying, you didn't have anything to do with this plant, and you're more concerned with it than any other thing right now. And he says, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals? And the story closes. So what does God teach Jonah in these last final words? He teaches Jonah how to have priorities. And this is so us. Jonah's complaining about the heat while 120,000 people have the opportunity to follow God. He complains about this plant and this heat while 120,000 people have the opportunity to begin a relationship with God. And in his selfishness, in his pride, in his concern for himself, he misses the revival of a city because he's so concerned with the plant that he's sitting up under. He's so concerned with the weather and with the heat and the sunburn that he's going to get on his head than seeing a revival take place in a city of people who need to know who God is. And so God teaches him how to have priorities. How many times do we complain about our circumstance when God is trying to show us the joys of what he's doing in our lives, the relationships that he's building, the opportunities he's creating, the peace that he's placing in our lives. And so many times we just keep our eyes on ourselves and we miss what God is doing all around us because we're so consumed with our story, with our comfort, with our peace, with our satisfaction, with our desires, and making sure our story goes the way we want it to go. When God is saying, no, if you would step into my story, it's a little bit more dangerous. It's a little bit more scary. You've got to move towards broken people, but it's going to be so much better, and you're going to see me save 120,000 people if you would just get your eyes off of yourself and place them on the God's story and God's mission. And so how does that relate to us? How does this all relate to us? The bottom line in the story of Jonah is this, and I'll invite the worship team to come up as I'm getting ready to close. The bottom line is that we run and God chases. That's my story all the time. I run, and what happens? God chases. I run, God chases. And here's the thing. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who created the galaxies, has you on his radar tonight. And he has me on his radar tonight. And he wants a relationship with us. And he wants us to know him in the ways that he knows us. And he wants us to jump on board with the things that he's doing, but it's going to require a couple things of us. First, that we be confident in his compassion, that he's going to show grace every single time, and that his grace is going to win every single time. And what God wants to do, I believe, in all of our lives, and especially tonight, is do whatever it takes to win you from yourself. And the greatest temptation for all of us is going to be to live a life about with our self-comfort in mind. To write a story that's all about us, to write a story that's about our comfort, our peace, our joy, our desires, our will. And what God, I think, wants to do, and what he teaches us through the story of Jonah, is what he wants is to, through his grace and through his compassion, to win us from ourselves, to get our eyes off of us and to place them on him, and to see that what he does is he moves towards messed up people. How do we know that? Because he's moved towards you and me. And who's more messed up than us? And so what we see from this story is that God is compassionate always, but where does he always go? If you want to jump onto the things that, on board with the things of God, he always moves towards messed up people. That's good news for you and me. That's something that me and you can rejoice in, that God, he just navigates towards messed up people. He just moves towards them with this unending compassion and grace. And we're thankful for that. But what that's going to require from you is that you move to messed up people in return, that you go to broken people, that you get your eyes off of yourself and you see the world that's outside of these walls, that's dying and it's broken, that they need the love of Jesus, and to go to the world with this confidence that God's going to be compassionate, that God still wants to save people, God still wants to show grace to people, God still wants to show his love to people. So we can move to the world. Why? Because we know that's where God's going, but also because we are confident that God's going to show compassion. It just requires us to get our eyes off of yourself, off of ourselves, and to see that God's trying to lead us into a relationship that's all about his glory and all about his good, and that those two are so connected. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.